You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Carolyn Vandeweel.
And I'm Ron Bronson. This is the Daily Local News for Thursday, July 27th, 2017.
One of the weekly rituals was to have a big Sunday breakfast that we cook for everybody.
On today's episode of Big Talk with Michael Glab, Spiridon Strategos talks about his involvement with Hoosier Staples, Rudy, Hoosiers, and Michael's Uptown Cafe.
Also coming up in the next half hour, our weekly public opinion feature, Voices in the Street, asks, are you ready for the students to return? But first, these local headlines.
Monroe County's Alexander Memorial is scheduled for a facelift. The Monroe County Commissioners approved a $14,000 contract with RC Engineering to examine the monument's construction in preparation for renovation work. In the Commission's meeting on Tuesday, Veteran Services Officer Mary Elfman told commissioners the monument was deteriorating for a while.
It was improperly cleaned, and if you walk up to it, you will note that many of the flat-faced stones on the base are pitted so horribly that you can't read them or see the designs that are on them. The corner pieces is also a concern. Those were relief carvings in limestone. They have been degraded so much it's hard to even tell what they are. We are also concerned about our little soldier at the top. And so they will do a complete inspection of him and see how sound he is and make recommendations based on that.
The 35-foot limestone monument was erected in 1928 and stands on the southeast corner of the courthouse lawn. The monument honors soldiers of all wars and is named for former Monroe County resident Captain W.M. Alexander, who left money in his will for its construction. According to a project overview submitted by Elfman, the restoration project includes cleaning the monument and replacing 8 damaged panels. Elfman told commissioners that she hopes the restoration will bring the monument back to its former grandeur.
We do have good digital scans of the entire monument, so when it comes to that, we will be able to provide those pictures to carvers so they can put it back the way it was.
Elfman told commissioners that the information provided by contractor RC Engineering will help refine the bidding estimates for companies competing for the restoration contract. Elfman said that while she hopes area limestone mills will donate stone for the project, the total cost is estimated to run more than $200,000. The Monroe County Commissioners also approve a $6,000 agreement with Mundell and Associates for a geophysical mapping of the courthouse lawn. Commissioners Administrator Angela Purdy told the commissioners during their meeting on Tuesday that there are historic features underneath the courthouse lawn.
We have some historic features that are located underground on our courthouse lawn. And what this will do will allow the mapping of the entire lawn so that in the future, in the event of needing to plant a tree or do anything that's going to disturb the lawn, you'll have an idea as to where things are can be located. The other thing is that it's going to give you an idea of where some historic features are located, and you could always choose to acknowledge that on the top level with some form of recognition or structure or something.
Purdy said the results of the survey will be made available on Monroe County's Geographic Information System, or GIS, website.
The sale of bonds by the City of Bloomington Utilities will result in a smaller price hike in utility rates than previously estimated. Utilities Director Vic Kelson told the Utilities Service Board on Monday night that the previously suggested 22% rate increase in utilities was corrected. Kelson said the lower rate reflects the change in debt service.
And instead of 20.15, it will be 20.06%. So the 22% we passed last year ends up coming in at 20.06, including the debt service.
Kelson told members of the Utility Service Board that a water main broke over the weekend. That break in the piping on the city's east side near Blooming Foods and Clura's Drive caused utility employees to work through the night.
On Sunday night during the night, we had a major main break on a 12-inch main out in front of Blooming Foods East at Clariz and 3rd Street. It was quite a lot of water. I was on my way back from vacation, so I missed it. But they were able to get it fixed working through the night and into the day on Sunday, and they're still working on the paving now. So the street should be reopened in the next day or two.
Kelson said the city has secured $4.6 million in bonds for replacing what he called critical water mains in the Fullerton Pike area. During the last Utilities Service Board meeting, Utilities Engineer Jane Fleeg reported that the Utilities Department anticipates spending $1.8 million annually on water main replacement projects in 8 areas across the city.
The City of Bloomington wants to know the value of the parking lot located at the northeast corner of the Showers Building downtown. The lot, known as the Red Lot, lies between the Showers Building and Solution Tree and is accessed from Morton Street. Assistant City Attorney Thomas Cameron explained the request for appraisals during Monday night's Redevelopment Commission meeting.
Given the sort of the activity in the area, we've gotten some interest in that parking lot already. We thought now seemed an appropriate time to figure out what it appraises at and then figure out if it makes sense to move forward with anything and in what form that might make sense.
In a conversation with WFHB Today, Cameron said interest in the lot comes from parties who already own property in the area, which is a proposed site for the city's so-called trades district. Cameron could not comment on what type of development is being considered for the lot. The Redevelopment Commission owns the Red Lot. According to Cameron, the county leases the parking space for use by its employees, whose offices are located in the north end of the Showers Building. Cameron said where those county employees would park if the lot was sold was uncertain at this point. According to the commission's resolution authorizing the appraisals, 2 companies will be assessing the Red Lot. First Appraisal Group, Incorporated, will perform the initial appraisal at a cost not to exceed $17,000. Mordo & Company will conduct a second appraisal for $1,500 or less. Since the lot lies within the Consolidated Tax Increment Financing District, or TIF, the cost of the 2 appraisals will be paid for from proceeds from the TIF district.
The Bloomington Board of Public Works has approved rates for the city's automated sanitation service. In the board's meeting on Tuesday, Public Works Director Adam Wason laid out the rates for the 3 sizes of trash cans offered under the new system.
The final rate structure that we are proposing and requesting your approval on would be for the 35-gallon solid waste cart, monthly fee being $6.22, the 64-gallon cart at $10.52, and the 96-gallon cart at $16.60.
Under the current system, city residents buy $2 stickers to place on trash bags for pickup each week. Under the automated system, city residents will see their trash sanitation charge on their utility bill. Wason said city residents who need additional service during the holidays and busier times of the year would incur an additional charge.
Those will occur only on Fridays in any given week, and residents would need to call ahead to the sanitation division at 812-349-3443 to notify of the request for additional pickup at their address. With that information, we'll be able to then put the addresses into some route optimization software so that we can be as efficient with those additional pickups as possible on Fridays.
Wason said the sanitation department will begin delivering carts in early September, and full implementation of the plan is expected to begin in mid-October. Wason says residents will have 60 days to change their cart size if wanted. Wason added that the new carts will contain RFID chips, making it harder for the carts to go missing.
The RFID technology in the carts and on board will identify exactly where that cart belongs, and if it's not there, we'll know so.
As for large and bulky item disposal, stickers currently in use will be replaced with a flat $10 collection fee. Collection of yard waste remains the same. Wason said the automated sanitation system will reduce worker injury and allow for modernizing the aging trucks currently in use. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Carolyn Vandeweel.
And I'm Ron Bronson. Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service. and offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithfield's home automation service is available at smithfieldsecurity.com.
A man of more hats than a magician, Spirit and Strategos, better known around town as Strats, was one of the originators of Bloomington's famed vegetarian mecca, the Dow, back in the late 60s and early 70s. He tells how he and the Uptown's Michael Cassidy created what is now one of Bloomington's signature breakfast dishes on today's edition of Big Talk with Michael Glab.
Hi, this is Big Talk. Michael Glab here. My guest today in the studio, Spiridon Strategos. That's a tough one for me.
You pronounced that perfectly, by the way.
Thank you. But I'm going to make it easy on myself.
You must be from Chicago, man.
Well, there were Greeks, there were Italians, there were Poles, there were Germans. I'm going to make it easy on myself and call you Strats, as everybody else does.
Everybody else does.
He's been an actor. He's been a restaurateur. He's a raconteur. He's a man about town. He's a Bloomington character. Now, let me ask you this. Can't you make up your mind as to what you want to do?
Well, you left out some key periods of my life, but I was a teacher at IU for 30 years on and off. I taught English as a second language and kind of developed a communication cultural course. Oh. I worked with Iraqis and that came here as part of a leadership program funded by the State Department through the School of Journalism. I worked in the business school, the law school, working with international students. I worked for the Abu Dhabi National Oil Company for 2 years, who were their scholarship program was headquartered in Bloomington. I just finished my master's degree.
Are you a spy?
So, yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up.
When you grow up. Well, funny, a lot of people might know you as sort of an actor guy. You've been in a couple of those Anspaugh Pizzo movies, Rudy and Hoosiers. You were the referee, Lagodi. That was Hoosiers. In the movie Rudy, you were Coach Gillespie.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got to tell you, I dug up an article where in this article they're talking about you and Michael Cassidy, the guy who now runs Uptown. They said Michael Cassidy, quote, and his buddy Strats perfected the art of the breakfast.
Well, let me back up on that.
Go ahead.
Michael and I met during the turbulent 60s, late 60s. He was from Fort Wayne and I was from South Bend. And we both got involved with this spiritual movement and joined the ashram. Me before him. At any rate, one of the weekly rituals was to have a big Sunday breakfast that we cook for everybody. And Michael and I, neither one of us, I think, came to that with any background other than the fact that my family was in the business, but I never cooked breakfast, would make breakfast for everybody. It was during that time that we found this recipe in the Tassajara Bread Book, which is a Zen monastery in California, for cottage cheese pancakes.
Cottage cheese pancakes.
Well, they still serve them at the Uptown. And if you haven't had them, you ought to try them. They're fantastic. But Michael and I developed that recipe, and he's been serving cottage cheese pancakes for 40-some years. Now, we both found jobs at a little restaurant called the Vienna Doghouse. Chicago-style doghouse.
Sounds good to
me. It was typical Chicago Vienna dogs. They did hamburgers that were like ground beef in the steam table. They decided they wanted to do breakfast. And they said, why don't you two guys start our breakfast business? Only on Saturday and Sunday mornings, we were a hit from day one. It was the bar crowd from the night before. I mean, we were swamped. We were making hollandaise sauce for Eggs Benedict by scratch. I mean, it fried us. But we bonded as partners on that grill.
Uh-huh.
And shortly thereafter, there was a group of people. This is interesting, Mike. In terms of history, because there's something that was posted on Facebook. It was a picture of the Dow restaurant, and there's been all kinds of misinformation about how the origins of the Tao and blah, blah, blah. It was a group of hippies, for lack of a better word, that would gather around Dunmeadow. And our leader was a guy named Steve White. He's long since deceased, great guy, who would bring a big kettle of soup down and we'd give the soup out free. Mm-hmm. And he had this idea to open up a vegetarian restaurant. Mm-hmm. He found a place on 10th Street and we opened it. It was a group of people, and some are still around Bloomington that were part of that group. I was one of the first dishwashers, was my first job at the New Age Deli. The New Age Deli was the first vegetarian restaurant in Bloomington. Huh. And it opened with great fanfare. We had a Swami from India, I don't know where he came from, that gave blessings to the day we opened. And we served completely pure vegetarian cuisine, and the place prospered for about a week, maybe a month or two.
You know, you're like a walking Monroe County History Center. You and Pizzo,
yeah.
Angelo Pizzo,
yeah.
were the first guys to do the StoryCorps thing.
Yeah, we
the
were.
Trailer came.
But it probably had more to do with him than me. he called me and asked me if I'd do this, and I said, "Man, what do you want me? You do this with your mom or your brother, or,
Yeah.
He says, "Well, they want to know about the late 60s, early 70s, and being a student on campus during that time."
What did you guys talk about?
We had a very similar arc. We both came here and joined fraternities. This was a tumultuous time on campuses everywhere.
Oh, sure.
And Angela and I both had a very liberal bent to us. And then there was a night that, and we were smoking pot back then. January 1st, 1969 was the first time that undergraduates under 21 could move off campus. Uh-huh. And he did, I did. Interestingly, I moved off campus, a beautiful farmhouse south of town, which is long gone, with David Ansbaugh and Harry Gonzo. Do you know who Harry Gonzo is?
Tell me.
Harry Gonzo was the star of the 1967-68 Rose Bowl team. He also was Mitch Daniels' chief of staff. So the three of us. Now, Harry was the straightest guy in the world. Mm-hmm. David and I weren't. which made for a very... When we would get stoned, he would flick the lights on and off. thinking that he was blowing our minds. And we'd be laughing at him, thinking that he was, tripping us out. It was a weird combination.
Spirit on Stratagos. Strats.
Yeah.
Actor, restaurateur, raconteur, man about town, Bloomington character, all these different things. Forrester.
I love Forrester. A teacher.
Spy. Thanks for joining us on Big Talk.
Mike, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You can hear that episode and all episodes of our Big Talk with Michael Gleb on our website, wfhb.org.
Support for WFHB comes from Monster Digital Marketing, offering digital marketing solutions for small businesses. Monster Digital Marketing websites are built for search engine optimization with both the desktop and the mobile device user in mind. Located at monsterdigitalmarketing.com or on the phone at 317-567-1197.
Support also comes from MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
And up next, our weekly public opinion segment, Voices in the Street.
Welcome to Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion feature. Voices in the Street provides an opportunity for people in our community to share their opinions and perspectives on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents.
This week on Voices in the Street, how do you feel about the students returning to town? With over 48,000 students getting back to town, the change that the city of Bloomington undergoes when classes meet is significant. It becomes more challenging to find parking and restaurants are more crowded. On the other hand, there is a youthful buzz and energy around town. Voices has asked your friends and neighbors how they feel about the students returning.
Well, we were talking about it, and it's going to pick up on the traffic, but we like the buzz when they're in town. It's a happy buzz in town. Dylan said that this was like an oasis in the Midwest, and I think Bloomington is like an oasis.
I've been away for a long time, so I always look forward to having students come back. Brings life to the town in another generation, and, you know, it's nice the summer when we have less traffic, less people, but I enjoy the students.
We feel great. We love the students. Yeah. We miss them in the summer because they bring life and energy to Bloomington and IU.
I'm excited about the new year, I guess. I don't know. They're coming in droves. They're walking around those orientation packs. But other than, you know, taking up the advisor's time, got no problem with it.
Seasonal wave. I think a lot of them need to be careful when they drive.
Well, it's nice to be in a quiet town when they're gone, but they pay the bills too, so I guess it's good to have them back.
It'll be harder to get across the streets, but other than that, they keep things busy. I was a grad student here myself, so, but never an undergrad here.
Excited for it.
Yeah? What's that?
So I work in the bar business, so over the summer we're just dead, especially July. Falls down quite a bit, so students bring a nice vitalization to the town, I would say.
Oh, I love it. People talk about how nice it is to be able to park downtown, but a college town is all about kids, and I really, really prefer it when they're here.
I love it. I work on campus for the university, and I just love being around students and working. You know, it's my life, so I've been here 20 years, and it's like, it's part of fall.
I'm excited. Because without students, I wouldn't have a job.
What do you do?
They're great. You know, they just bring a youth and exuberance to campus. So I love them.
I think it's a good thing. That's what the community is, university community is based on. So we pretty much need them to come back into town. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad for it. Well, I work for IU in finance, and so it's job security, I guess you would say.
I don't want them to come back. Because everything's busy. Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Lots of energy. Good to walk around and have people doing things. It's like a buzz, right? You know, when you go into a restaurant and lots of people there chatting, have a good time.
Oh, just adds more activity to the city. Makes it more interesting.
It's awesome. Yeah, you know, it's nice to have a little break in the summertime, but the energy is fantastic when the students come back. So,
I guess I'm all right with it. It's kind of like dead with nobody around. It's kind of nice that there's a time of the year when it's not just crawling with students, crowding up the streets and the restaurants and everything. But, I don't know, it's livelier with students around. Love them.
Yeah.
Why is that? Well, I think Bloomington depends on the students. It's part of why we're here, the university and everything. So, I think it's great. Bring them on.
I think it's great. I'm looking forward to it. It just brings a new life to the town, and we like all the activities that come along with it. So, we're looking forward to sports season coming up. So
we're ready for them. Work for the Department of Theater and Drama.
This has been Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion segment, featuring candid commentary from your friends and neighbors on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents. Voices in the Street is a volunteer-powered production of our News and Public Affairs Department here on WFHB 91.3 and 98.1 FM, community radio for South Central Indiana.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines, along with Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Service, was written by Sarah Vaughn. Our feature was produced by Michael Glab.
Voices in the Street was produced by Barbara Von Pervosky. Our engineer today is Chris Martin. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, this is Ron Bronson.
And I'm Carolyn Vandeweel. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered independent daily news program.
If you use iTunes, you can have this show delivered to you directly. Just go to the iTunes store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.
And stay tuned for Blooming Out, Indiana's only LGBTQI public affairs show. It's coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.